What is he thinking? Does he like me? What is he thinking? Why'd he do that? What is he thinking? I want answers. What is he thinking? You are now listening to the podcast that has the answers you need for your love life to succeed. This is
What Is He Thinking?
And now, your host, Alexander B. Stevens.
Episode number 2, which is episode number 42 overall.
Let's begin the proceedings already.
What's going on, beautiful people? This is A.B. Stevens, the host of the podcast that you just can't get enough of. Here at the What Is He Thinking podcast, we tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. So hey, just because my initials are ABS, doesn't mean when you listen to this podcast, you're going to be like, hey, this is some BS. You definitely are not going to be like that.
What's going on? What's going on? This is Alexander B. Stevens. We're back. This is the What Is He Thinking podcast. You're listening to a Ask Alex episode, but hey, it's not just Alex here. We got Reyes J. We have Carl. Ooh. We have JT. How you guys doing?
What up?
Yes, sir. So it's four of us to tackle these questions. So you get four different perspectives. So you guys know that I'm just not talking out my butt. If they say some of the things that I'm saying, then maybe men actually think this way. And hey, give you a different perspective, then hey, you know what I'm saying? You're just more well-rounded and well-educated. Let's go ahead and hop into the question.
Disclaimer. The views and opinions of the guest and co-host on this podcast are their own and do not necessarily represent the views and thoughts of Alexander B. Stevens unless they are explicitly endorsed or echoed by the host.
Girl, you better ask Alex.
So, I ran across this on social media, written by a woman. What is your opinion on the following piece of advice? Ladies, never date a man because he has great potential. Date him for his reality. His reality is who he is now. Potential may never come. So fellas, what are your thoughts on that type of advice to the women out here? Like, imagine it's your cousin, your little sister, your big sister, and they're getting this type of advice. They tell you about this advice. You respond how? JT.
Appreciate that. I think, first off, this is totally dependent on age, 100%. Early 20s, you always date for reality, right? But potential too. A mouse isn't going to morph into a bear. So be honest with yourself about who you're with today, but you can recognize drive and motivation, right? Like where this person's going to go. How's that song go? You know, he got that ambition, baby. Look at his eyes. This week he mopped the floors. Next week is surprise. Like, that's true, right?
That's that old Kanye.
If you're in your 30s or later, I mean, people can still grow. But, like, by then, you better be dating for reality first. You can do more as you age or whatever. But if that man is not who you need or want him to be today, you're probably hoping and praying and just took on a project.
Took on a project. Now, I feel like in one of the previous podcasts that we did together, JT, you're talking about project managers. Too many women want to be project managers instead of dating guys that actually have what they need. Carl, what are your thoughts about this question?
Yeah,
never date a man on his potential, date him on his reality. Potential may never come.
Yeah, I got a slightly different take on this, right? Because my initial thought when I pondered this question was, I think never is one of the worst things you can say. You know, especially when you're trying to date, you kind of limit yourself. I think this advice that was given limits the dating pool, right? You know, when you think about what potential means, I think the first thing that comes to a lot of people's minds is provider. But, you know, there's potential about being a loyal mate, good father, good friend, support system, good in-law to your spouse's family. All these things from the woman's perspective that they'd be looking for when they talk about potential. So when they talk about the reality, I think too many times it's about where they are now, what their drive is, like JT said, what their finances are right now. But there's a lot more to it. So I think by just kind of closing this off completely and saying, hey, if you're not who you are now, you're never going to be anything different. I think that could be slightly misleading and could cause you to just miss out on a good thing, right? You know, I think a lot of us, most of us on this chat, on this podcast, met our significant others while we weren't where we are today, right? So Imagine if they peaced out with 20-something-year-old Carl. I mean, potential was low. I'm not going to lie. You know, it did not look good for a while, you know? So,
Come on, man. You've been too hard on yourself.
I know who I was, man. Trust me. But, you know, people can be set in their ways. And like JT said, age is a critical factor. One point I want to make about this, too, is it also kind of goes back to people wanting things too easy, right? So it may be generational. It may be where we are today. But I do think relationships are stronger when you grow together. I think it's also kind of flipped, too, when it comes to men and women. Because with us men, we're more focused on it now. Because we know the things we're interested in now are going to change. They ain't going to be the same. We hate to say it, but the truth is, we're into looks right now. We expect that to change. So we're into like, hey, the reality of who you are now is what I want, right? Whereas I think with women, they kind of expect that things are going to grow into more things. For some reason, they think we look more interesting as we get older. You know, I've heard them say that. So with them, their orientation is more the long game. For us, it's the short game. We know we got a finite window for certain things. So my thought is the advice that was given on this example probably is not the best advice. It sounds like saying never is not a good thing. Also, it kind of seems flipped from what I understand to be the differences between men and women and what we expect from a long-term relationship.
Okay, I hear you.
Can I hop on that one real quick? I think that was some really insightful knowledge he just dropped there. And I can't remember where you said you saw the question, but a lot of times I think women get dating advice from other women, which is interesting because you're not dating other women, unless you are, but that's right. Not the podcast for you, right?
No, that's not this podcast.
Yeah, to Carl's point, I mean, to think about how men think about going at dating situations, we are very much in the now, in the present. So yeah, that was a solid point.
Before we let Reyes hop on, what you were talking about, Carl, kind of reminded me of a saying that I heard before I proposed to my wife. And it's like, men marry a woman hoping she doesn't change, and women marry a man hoping he does. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that just kind of goes hand in hand with what you were talking about. But Reyes, what are your thoughts on this question?
Man, I think they just gave the advice wrong. You know what I mean? Like, every man has potential. Everybody has potential. It's whether we live up to it or not, whether we go get it or not, it determines the outcome. So really, is that man's potential, do you see that in your reality? What you see in him already? Because like I said, 20-year-old Reyes is way different than 40-year-old Reyes. Way different. Way different. So my wife probably had to just look to see what kind of potential I was. And then what kind of potential do you want in your reality? Do you want finances? Could you date a garbage man who might not be making a lot, but he loves you a lot? So what is your reality? What are you looking for? Because everybody has the potential to make money, but everybody's not going to because that might not be what they want. So really, ladies got to look at really what they want and what is your reality, I guess what I'm trying to say, before you look at someone's potential. Because, you know, my potential might not vibe with you, but this woman over here, my potential might vibe with her. She could see me in her reality. Because, hey, he's a loving person. He's good with children. That's what I want in my life. You know, finances, we can work on that. Or, hey, I might want the man whose potential is, or what he wants to do and what he dreams about is making money, being rich. And I ain't going to mind being the wife who sits at home sometimes by myself because I know my man's got to go out there and make all this money. You know, so it's all like they got to examine what the reality is before they can really determine the potential of the man they want to be with.
I'll add one more point to that before we kill this dead horse is by saying what she said, whoever the lady is asking for the advice, you're basically saying that you're bringing nothing to his life, right? Because if he's going to be the reality, the finished product, and you're coming in and you have nothing to add to him to improve or
what
change,
do we need you for?
Coming in with the palms
what is your
out.
Use?
What palms is your up. Use?
Right.
Yeah, there's a famous relationship YouTuber who's no longer with us that one of his sayings was women need to be feminine, beautiful, and inspirational. Why does he say inspirational? Like inspire a man to be more than he is. What is that? He has potential. You come, you bring the potential out of him, and you get maximum productivity, results. You both benefit from it, right? That's the whole aspect and point of being inspirational. So on top of what Carl said, like, what are you bringing to the table? I am the table, is what some women say. And those are the women that will have to buy a dog and die alone, as that same man would say, because you're not going to be in a successful relationship. But if you're a reasonable woman, A, you need to be bringing something to the table, and B, inspiration. People don't know this.
I got to bring a dog into it too, man. Oh, I got to bring a dog into it.
I mean, they need some companionship. You feel me? They need some companionship. But not to get all the way off the subject, but it just came to mind. There's a supposed wage gap between men and women, right?
But in actuality, in 2023, in metropolitan areas,
unmarried childless women in their 20s make more money than unmarried childless men. It's not until a man like gets married and has kids that he really starts making more money than a woman. Why? Well, there's multiple reasons why, but part of it, you know what I'm saying, is that woman is bringing something out of him and helping him, giving him the motivation, the inspiration, whatever you want to call it, to help him be all that he can be. The pressure of a family or whatever you want to call it, to ignore potential and only just rest on reality or what's actually here now is just real short-sighted, shallow thinking, in my opinion. Anyway, I heard something about 6 months ago from a YouTuber, Chelsea Nelson. That's her government name. I won't give you her YouTube name as of yet. But she said something that was real. Yeah, she's going to have to pay me if she wants me to shout her out like that. But she will get credit for this. And she was giving advice on this subject, and I thought it was thought-provoking. So I will share it with you guys, and you can let me know, hey, this is pretty good.
Or she snowed you, Mr. Stevens.
Let's see here. She was talking about, basically, you should not date on potential. You should date on projection. And that might sound like semantics, but like if there's a small business that's looking for a loan or whatnot, you got to bring in some paperwork, some evidence that, yes, you are doing something. And yes, you have done something. You do have a track record of doing something. You're not a Fortune 500 company yet, of course, but you project to be doing better things if you get this money. I've already done this. I'm set up for this. I'm organized like this. My trajectory is this. Here's my portfolio. All I need is you, your assets, or you as the woman or whoever, join the team, you know what I'm saying, and greater things are to come. So it's more about projection than potential. So projection is potential in action with tangible evidence of progression toward a certain direction or a certain goal. You're not all the way there, but you're like one third of the way there. You know what I'm saying? So like somebody said earlier, everyone has potential. Everybody could maybe go to the NFL if they start on their eighth grade football team. But what does that mean? Now, the person that has projection is the person that is All-American in college. Is he in the NFL yet? No, but he's way closer to being there than the eighth grader that's on the 18. I mean, he's put in X amount of work and you can kind of see the trajectory of his life. So somebody said it's kind of a sitting on the fence type answer, but I thought it was kind of clever, you know what I mean? Because you don't want to date completely on potential, because that can leave women giving bums chance after chance after chance. But like we already discussed, if the guy already has to arrive before you give him a chance, then you're just along for the ride. You're useless. You're a gold digger, whatever you want to call it. So it needs to be somewhere in between. What do you guys think of that?
Yeah, I think that sums it up beautifully. And again, to kind of what I was saying, like the age thing makes a huge difference.
Yes.
Where you're expecting somebody to be at a certain age in life is going to have a huge impact on it. But the projection piece over potential, ton of sense. I mean, you think about it from a straight business standpoint. Would you invest with something? You think about Shark Tank, right? Like they're going to look at what have you done up to this point that's going to lead me to believe you're going to get to this point. It's the same thing with dating. And I mean, it's the same thing we do with women.
Well said. Yeah. I'll pile onto that too. I agree with that. I mean, it makes sense where something's already kind of started. You can see where it's heading. It would make sense to be a part of that. But I do still want to come back to you. The projection should have some element of you in it, right? Back to the financial analogy, you got all the assets, everything that's going to be there to help drive that projected revenue and all that earnings and success. If it's all just the one person and you just want to just insert yourself into the success part of that, I would pause there as the person who is your prospect.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We'll shoot at anything, right? You always talk to women about like you got twos walking up to them in the club and they nines and tens, but women also be overshooting their shots too. Women are very conceited. Facts. At the same time.
Right.
And JT knows about being conceited. You got any final thoughts for us, Reyes J?
Can't BS a BSer. Yeah.
No, I think that what they said was perfectly right and it totally makes sense. You know what I mean? Like, I totally agree with the lady. Projection. That was good, actually, a good way of putting it.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, ladies, this new perspective that we just spoke on, make sure to take it to heart, give it a try, and see how beneficial it could be. Okay, let's move on to the meat of the episode.
Reminder, If you are enjoying this episode, please comment below if you are on YouTube or rate us 5 stars on Spotify or Apple Podcasts.
Girl, you better ask Alex.
On these internet dating streets, and maybe it's always been this way.
Oh, man, the streets are dirty.
Yeah. They're lonely, dirty, whatever. Worse than bourbon, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, throw your shoes out after you walk in the streets. There's like a debate or a controversy, like, do women need men anymore? Women don't need men. Men need women, all that kind of gender war type stuff. Not really all that productive, but hey, it's out there. But with that kind of thought in mind, that subject matter, in the dating arena.
All of you gentlemen are married now, but...
You can take yourself back to when you were dating or even now as a married man. As a man, do you want to be needed? Do you prefer being needed over wanted? And if you do want to be needed, what exactly should a woman need from you? So it's kind of 3 questions in one. We can maybe tackle them one at a time. But as a man, do you want to be needed or do you only want to be wanted by your significant other? Whoever wants to tackle this first, go ahead.
Dude, I want to be wanted.
Yeah, I'll jump in. Sorry, Reyes, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Carl.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, well, it goes back to phase of life, right? So as a younger man, I wanted to be wanted, of course, man. You know, I want to be desired. You know, I want to come to the table, not just bringing stuff that somebody needs, but what they want. So I'll say back in my dating days, I wanted to be wanted. That was the main thing. I'll say now, though, as a married man, been married for a while, I want to be needed. I want to be missed in the house when I'm gone, right? You know, things like just somebody to take the trash out. Bad example, but something that, you know, traditionally, things like, you know, paying the bills, changing a light bulb, reaching to that tall cabinet, grab that plate she can't get to. I want to be needed as a person around the home where I'm not dispensable. So at the same time, though, I also want to be wanted. But if I was to choose one, as to the stage I'm in life right now, I would say I prefer to be needed. But looking back to where I was when I was single, just kind of having fun out there in these clean streets, I wanted to be wanted. So, yeah, I'll pause there. I'll let the other guys jump in.
Yeah, you took a little bit more deeper than I was always thinking. I wanted to be wanted no matter what stage of my life, because if you're only there for needs, when that need is gone, you ain't never going to be wanted. So that's how I was kind of looking at it. You know, he brought up the trash analogy, but if your son starts taking out the trash,
you got a job, right?
You no longer want it.
Your job has been outsourced. Outsourced? Yes, to Junior.
Yeah, your son hit that 6'3", you know, he got the top
He's getting the dishes and he's doing everything that you needed to be, you know. So once that need is gone, you ain't no longer wanted. So that's why I would just choose being easy about it. I would just want to choose wanted because I think that's more just of a personal decision, not based off anything but other than I love, I care about you, I like you, I want to be wanted. That was the way I was looking at it.
How are you looking at it, JT?
So, Carl, you gave me some food for thought. Now I'm kind of thinking about what I read into those words. Because initially I was thinking a bit of both, right? And like Reyes, I was saying I prefer to be wanted over needed. In my head, I was like, all right, cool. I might like fill gaps for her, or she might rely on me for certain like emotional needs in her life. But let's say like from a financial standpoint or like the simple ability to be able to like thrive in the world as a grown up, I would expect her to be self-sufficient. So yeah, I want to be wanted in your life, but like not necessarily need it. I don't know. I think that you can count on me. I can be dependable, but I don't know if you should depend on me. Like that seems different to me.
And my thought with that too is long-term relationships and marriages are a choice, right? Where you choose to partner with somebody and do life together, right? So there's that element of just codependence that's inherent. You know, that's the whole contract you're signing up. So at some point, you know, looks will fade, that fire, the butterflies are going to go away. I'm sure, you know, long-term, short-term, that happens to every relationship where the want, and the way I kind of pictured the want was just more, you know, sexually, just, you know, fun, superficial type stuff, you know, so maybe I read that wrong. But my thought was the wanting part, it's going to die down a little bit, right, with time, right? You're always going to want to chill, watch a movie, but the way it was before or at the beginning points of a relationship might not be the same. Whereas that codependency, that's just the part of just saying, hey, I'm going to do life with you as an individual. That stuff has to stay. And once that goes away and you're not needed for that aspect too, and wanting might have faded a little bit more, it's like y'all roommates, man. You know, so y'all just need to decide, you know, hey, you know, what's more important to me as a man for the long term. So, yeah.
Can I jump back in? I know, Alex, I know you got stuff to say on this, but the more that Carl explains it, the more I'm understanding like how you visualize it, right? Yeah. I was thinking wanted as in not necessarily like, oh, a sexual desire, like a puppy love, kind of like, oh, I want you kind of thing, but more of like, I'm making an active choice versus I'm dependent on you. That's how I was looking at the difference. But to your point of how you're viewing need seems deeper, right? Like there's a connection that's going to be like unseverable versus wanted, like you said, can fade. I get where you're coming from on that. It's almost like when people talk about, oh, they got the juice versus they got the sauce, right? Like sauce lasts forever in a cabinet, right? Juice, you got to throw it out after a couple of weeks. So
it's
I
rancid.
Understand what you mean. I get what you're saying on that. You know, depending on how you interpret the words want and need, you can have a totally different answer. So I get that.
But like Carl's bringing JT and Reyes over to his side. You know what I'm saying?
There we go. Like there you
go. If I ever get caught up with the law, I know who will be my lawyer. So,
well, what do you say, Mr. Stevens?
What do I say? Well, I heard a saying recently that I like, and I'm going to throw it out here and see if y'all like it too. Women need to be wanted, and men want to be needed. What do y'all think about that?
I mean, clearly, I agree with that, right? like my thought is, like, I want to be needed. But I think it makes sense, you know, because when you think about what drives us is a feeling of utility as a man, right? You can't be a man with no purpose, right? So I think that need kind of walks hand in hand with that. Whereas for women, they want you to notice the little things. They want things to feel new as often as possible. They want you to keep choosing them every day. Which is the same thing goes for us as guys as well. I just think that need might be a little bit deeper because, I mean, just hate to say it, just the way things have been, there's usually a lot more women available to each man in society, just from a numbers perspective, but also from a historical practice as well. So you are actively choosing to keep wanting her, and that's a big compliment, right? Now, I can't say I'm speaking for women and how they feel emotionally because this is a podcast with four guys, right? But from my perspective, this is the male perspective. Yeah. That's how I think we see it, you know? So,
and to, I guess, elaborate more on the women need to be wanted, if I were to guess as to where the genesis of that part of the statement comes from, like, why do they want us to keep taking them out on dates and complimenting them and things of that nature? It's kind of just reiterating that, hey, I still want you. I'm still attracted to you. I still choose you. You know what I'm saying? Us, we don't need any of that. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't need all this warm up. Like, hey, let's, if I didn't like you, we wouldn't be married. We wouldn't be in the same house together. Let's go to the back room because the game starts in 30 minutes.
No, you got to warm me up. Make me feel desired.
But anyway, sorry, ladies. I don't want to sound disparaging, but you know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I'm thinking of when it comes to women need to be wanted and men want to be needed. But does anybody have anything on that quote before I get into my opinion on this question?
No, I'm starting to get closer and closer to Carl's side.
I hear you. I hear you. So me personally, I'm with Carl. So I'm glad he said what he said. If I have to choose, I'd rather be needed than wanted. Of course, ideally, you get both, right? I want to be wanted and needed. But if I can only get one, I'd rather be needed. And to be completely honest, especially here in 2023, I don't necessarily want to be needed in the sense that you're destitute and hopeless without me. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? You're useless and hopeless without me, and I'm your oxygen in order for you to exist. I don't need to be needed like that. But this is my opinion. My best man in my wedding disagreed when I told him this 12 years ago, but maybe you guys have a different opinion. I kind of want, when I say needed, I want a woman to know that I can make it by myself and have like a C-minus life, but I can't have an A life without Alexander. In order for me to have an A life, I need Alexander. In order for me to be all I can be, I need an Alexander or someone like him. So you need me in order to have the best life that you can have. That's kind of how I view it or whatnot. Because Reyes earlier kind of mentioned that when the need is gone, then what? But I kind of feel like wants disappear way easier and quicker than needs do. And then there's some needs that just don't go away. So you got that. I feel like wants are more flaky, needs are more solid. And we haven't got into this part, but I'll go ahead and start it off. The last part of this question is, And especially for the guys who believe that a woman should need you. Like, what exactly should they, what should a woman need from you as a man? And of course, there's always exceptions, right? I shouldn't have to say that before every time I answer a question. But in general, I feel like she should need my structure, my order, protection, leadership, some problem solving, maybe a certain level of provision. Like, I feel like she should need some of those things and whatnot. Of course, a woman with a husband is more protected than a woman out here in these dirty streets by herself. You know what I'm saying? Even literally speaking, she's more protected because she's with the man. But also, my wife tells me this, like, people treat you differently. They treat married women differently. You know what I mean? Like, women treat a married woman differently. Men, they come at her differently with more respect and whatnot. And that's a certain level of protection or whatnot.
Sure.
That you really can't have unless you have a man that society or that man in particular respects by your side. So that's kind of part of it, like, you know, as far as what she should need from me. All the men that I know that are successful, you know, they have a certain level of like a discipline, structure. Before, when we weren't on this podcast, me and Carl had a conversation about, I guess, the time that his wife was out of town and he had to run the household with the kids and whatnot, and how it was different from how the household was run when mom's around. You want to share that story with the class, or is that too private?
No, it's not private at all. Nah, what I told you, the word I used was like, it was military time in my house. You know, it was like structure.
Structure in order, baby.
Kids were dressed, fed, ready for school at the exact same time every single day while mom was gone. And let's say my mom does a fantastic job. She might be a listener, right? So does a great job every single day. But, you know, overall, my method was different. You know, it was just like structured. Like you said, there was a certain schedule to things. That's how my mind operated. That's the only way I was going to succeed with the two kids, both under 7 at the time, by myself for a whole solid week. And it worked out well. We've actually kept using that till today. So, nah, it's a different way of doing things.
Yeah. So, you know, like I said, the order and structure that good men can bring to a relationship can just improve a woman's life. So I would want her to want that or need that from you. Talking about my own situation, the way my wife handles things and plans things out has changed since she's been with me. It used to be a little bit more loosey-goosey and this or that. And then now she's like, I can't stand these flakes all around me. Before. But anyway, JT, what do you have to say about my comments? And then both of y'all were saying y'all are kind of coming around to me and Carl's side. And if so, what should your wife need from you specifically? What do you want her to need from you?
We both quiet now, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can jump into some of that. I think obviously we speak in a lot of generalities, right? There are things we probably universally agree that would fall more into like a man's way of thinking versus a woman's way of thinking. There's always going to be some caveats to that. I know for my personal situation, it was actually my wife who is an accountant, has that type of brain where there's a lot of structure and stuff. And I was more of the, hey, let's enjoy life and do these things and we'll shift here and take these kind of things. So for me, what I brought to her was more of the spontaneity, more of the adventurous side of like, let's explore things. But still, when you talk about order and structure, I think in terms of the decision making, there is an order and a structure to that that she just didn't have, right? There was a lot of consternation and going back and forth and, you know, vacillating between these things. And so I think just between making decisions, as well as she's coming home, there's issues with work and she wants to bounce those off me, I am kind of that sounding board, that advice, that kind of like solid comfort, like, hey, this is how we're going to get through these things, reassurance. Those are things I think that she needs from me, or that I provide to a woman in terms of, we're going to make it through anything, right? Like, there is no choice but us to be successful on things. And I think sometimes women can get very much into a zone of like being overly worried. And so men bring a calmness to things as well.
Calmness, yes, peace. Reyes, any thoughts?
Yeah, no, shoot, JT took exactly what I was about to say. It's just depending on what your partner brings. What are your opposites to your partner that you can provide? Like he said in JT, she's the more structured one. So his thing is he provides some more spontaneity. You know, that's almost kind of how it is in my household here. You know what I mean? Like, my wife is the structured one, the rule follower. I'm more of the open-minded. I tend to get things a whole different type of way. You know, like in some instances, she might think for the kids. The way I try to teach them is I try to teach them how to think.
Yeah. You know?
So it's just all kind of different ways. But I think sometimes we just mess up when we start making it a general theme. This is, I just need this from a man. No, you don't. Like, what do you want from your man? basically. So I think we start getting in trouble when we start making it a general thing.
Yeah, I think something that is kind of lost or can be lost in our current culture is people first knowing thyself.
Yeah.
And then looking for somebody who is compatible. That's the word I feel like you're using. You were looking for earlier, Ray. It's like, I'm strong at A, B, and C.
Yeah.
I suck at X, Y, Z. I must find the right match for me. Why don't you come and be my QT?
One of my famous phrases from previous seasons is that I'm not trying to date myself in a dress. Like, I'm already good at what I'm good at. I need somebody that's good at some of these things that I either don't want to do or I'm not good at. You know what I'm saying? So we can come 100%. Together as a whole and better than two separate entities. You know what I mean? So even though it's not necessarily stereotypical, Reyes and JT, my wife is this way. I came in this way. You know what I'm saying? And together, you have all bases covered. And that's kind of the point of marriage, I kind of thought. You know what I'm saying?
So, agreed. Yeah.
Good stuff. Good talk.
All right. You know what? I'm having a blast. This is some good stuff right here. Things are going even better than I imagined. But unfortunately, we're going to have to cut things short today. Let's tie this episode up in a cute little bow. Macy's Christmas present bow, to be exact. And we're going to go ahead and continue the party next week. Ask Alex, episode 3 of the season. Do yourself a favor, re-listen to some old episodes, apply that knowledge, and make sure that your tomorrow is better than your yesterday. Until next time.
There you have it. Another captivating episode in the books. You have just listened to The Authentic Male Perspective on Dating and Relationships. If this episode resonated with you, make sure to share it with a friend and leave a comment. If you want to be on a future episode, you have a topic suggestion, or you need any clarification about anything said during this current episode, feel free to send A.B. Stevens an email at whatishethinking@gmail.com or DM the show on Instagram. What is he thinking? The podcast that is here to help you win with men. Signing off. Until we speak again.